and he wants to know which daughter.
All right, we're recording?
Yeah.
Okay, so we are up to the mitzvah of kosher. Why kosher? So I'll tell you that I thought that for Shana Bet I would do something a little different than for the Shalom guys of why kosher. Because already you guys are on a level. So, you know, when I spoke to them, I spoke about eating with kavanos, eating with Shem Shamayim, you know, the mystical ideas. For you guys, I think you need to understand that why do we kosher, or why do we stay away from non-kosher? You have to understand, God said so. God said so. Basically it. All right, what do we got here? Come on in. Okay. So here's the story. What is the first commandment? First commandment that Hashem gives to man. What's the first commandment that Hashem gives to Adam?
Name the animal.
Don't eat from the tree.
Name the animal. That's a good one.
I can't hear. I'm behind this cage here.
Have your children.
Huh?
Name the animals.
No.
Ace of dots. Don't even name the dots.
No.
He was a parsha.
No, go to the parsha.
You're one plus ahead of me.
Eat the fruits.
Vayitzav. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Hadam Lemor. This is by the way, it's the first thing Hashem says to man. First thing. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim Adam Lemor Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel. The first commandment, Vayitzav. Hashem commands man, saying, "Eat from all the trees of the garden." And then in the next pasuk, he says, "Right, Ume Eitz Hadat Tovara Lo Tochel Mimenu." Only this next passage didn't say, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas Tovara. But the first commandment is to eat. And eat from every tree. There's one tree you don't eat from. Now what does that tell us? What are some of the lessons here from this? Self-control, okay, what else?
There's glass half full perspective.
Okay, good, what else?
God wants you to enjoy the pleasures of the world, but all within one day.
Great.
It's not ours that we have a right to it, it's Hashem allowing us to have it in the first place.
Okay, good.
Eat, but with great power comes great responsibility. Like, you got to...
Nice, yeah.
Sometimes you think it's good for us, but we don't think it's, like, we don't know.
Okay, great. So we're gonna get to the things you said. Before we get to first thing to understand this something that Moir Virabi or Avraham Lichtenstein Zatzal would say many times. There are many times in him. It's also in his writings. The definition of man is a commanded being. The first word said to man is in the Lashon of Vayitzav. And what he says is something that we would think is a reshus. It's something that God's giving us permission. You can eat. No, it's a commandment. Eat. Eat from all the fruits of the trees. From all the trees. Man, by definition, is a commanded being, which has a lot of different lessons for us. Number one is that ultimately, all the mitzvah that we're learning, right? The five we're covering today, there are more than this, by the way. This applies to all mitzvot, is that we do them, whatever reasons we're going to share in the 6 minutes that we're given to give these over, is all icing on the cake. It's all like maybe some side benefits of keeping kosher or putting on tzitzis, etc. But ultimately, it's all about we're commanded, right? We are commanded beings. By definition, Hashem is our creator. He tells us what to do, and we say, how high? We do it because Hashem says so. That's it. And then the question is, you know, we're trying to deal with is, okay, what are some of the things we can learn from the experience of doing the mitzvah, right? But ultimately, it's a gzera, Hashem says so, and that's what we do. And bottom line, my friends, that's what should be the ultimate motivator here. Shem's the creator, he's the God, he created us. We owe him everything, he owes us nothing. And that's why we do it. But we also have, there are spiritual benefits here. There is mystical teachings, there's deeper ideas involved and behind it. But we do it because Hashem said so, we're commanded, that's who we are, we're man. Now, as was pointed out here very beautifully, is that Hashem starts with telling us what we should eat, what we can eat. Hashem wants us to enjoy the world, he wants us to have pleasures. But as Avi pointed out, he wants it on his terms. Right? I want you to enjoy the world. I created the world for you to enjoy. But on my terms. With discipline. Right? With responsibility. Discipline. Kosher is a discipline. And it benefits not only in how we eat, but it carries a discipline to many other areas in life. Case in point, I was in Camp Misora about 18 years ago, last summer, my last summer Camp Misora. So I had five kids at the time, and we were in Price Chopper. After about 45 minutes of shopping, we're online with the cashier, and what's the display next to the cashier in every single supermarket in the world?
Crazy.
Candy. Candy, right? Chocolate candy. Every single. What? How do they all know? How do they all know how to do that? Because they know you're standing in line, you're tired, your kids are hungry, and they're going, no, I'm getting it, I'm getting it, right? And it works. Because you're like, okay, like, what was, you know, $150 has turned to $200 just waiting online. Right? Your bill for the... And most parents give in. Most parents give in. So my wife very calmly just said to every single one of them and says, no, it's not good. And they just calmly put it back. Whatever they had taken, whatever gum, this candy, that candy, they put it back. And like it was like a couple behind us, and they're like, What just happened here? It's like, what is some magic thing you said to your kids? Like, some code word? Yeah, we said kosher. There's certain things we can't eat. Like, our kids know that. Like, we've got to try this at home. This is awesome, man. So, there is a discipline that no means no. No means no that transfers to other areas of life, not just in what we eat. I'm going to now fast forward because a lot of the other things I don't think I have to share with you guys. Let's talk on a higher level. Now, as a segue to the higher level, Rashar Shaphal Hirsch, in his Sefer Choret, he says something very simple. If you read the psukim, it just jumps out at you very simply. Kosher is not necessarily healthier eating, physically healthier eating. Kosher is spiritually healthy eating. Kosher, if you eat non-kosher, it is mitameh et hanefesh. So the psukim say, very simply. It deadens the soul. It contaminates the soul. To a point in which, as he writes, and this is, again, something very, very, very obvious almost, the point at which that your soul becomes desensitized to Kedusha. Similar to, right, the Torah is on Shovavim, what happens when you're not being shomer abris, it contaminates the person. But here it's even more so. When you're talking about kosher, right, or non-kosher, here you're consuming into yourself. You're ingesting this thing into your body, into your bloodstream, into your digestive system. It becomes a part of you. You are what you eat. It's true. And so when you eat something that is tameh, it is metameh you. It is, becomes a part of you, and you become deadened, desensitized to the kedusha of Shabbos, to the kedusha of Torah, to the gishmak of davening, of mitzvah. It just, that's it. It becomes, and it's hard to undo that. And that's why many, there's unbelievable stories of tzaddikim, even in the most difficult situations, even when it was mutter for them to eat, they didn't want to eat because of the properties that it's metamin. There's many stories, you know, from the Holocaust about tzaddikim. If they didn't eat, they would die. There's just one amongst many. Rabbi Yeshua Moshe Aronson was a Rav pre-World War II. He survived Auschwitz and other camps, and he was a Rav afterwards. He wrote a sefer called Alei Mirarot, the Bitter Leaves. You know about bitter leaves. So he tells a story that when he was in Auschwitz, so there was a Rav, I forgot the name of the Rav, a very prominent Talmid Chacham was there with his two sons. And they came from Hungary, and they had a very difficult time just understanding the concept of Auschwitz, of Birkenau. And by the time they realized what was happening here, that this was a death camp, they had this elderly Rav was a skeleton almost. He was what they call a Muslim man. Looked like he only a few days to live. And so he was trying to figure out a plan of how the Rav can save this Jew, get him transferred to a different kind of job. Now there was someone from his community, Rav Aronson's community, who was in charge of an engineering detail, which was a very, yachasit, relatively a very good job in Auschwitz-Birkenau. So he was going to try to get this rabbi transferred to work in this engineering detail, which was indoors, they got much better food, and so on. And so he petitioned to this young man, who was, again, was a chassid, who was a member of his community, but now, you know, he's now in charge, he's a different person. He begged him, please take this rabbi, you know, I promise you that, you know, Olam Haba, if through you this man survives, you're going to be rewarded tremendously Olam Haba. And at great risk, he agrees to do it. And then about 2 weeks later, this Jew, who is the head of this engineering company, comes back to Rabbi Aronson and says, I'm taking the rabbi to Din Torah. The rabbi who he had saved, taking to Din Torah. What do you mean? He says, that's it. I'm sending him back to the regular work detail, which would certainly kill him, because he's refusing to eat. He's refusing to eat. We get good food. We get horse meat. But if he doesn't eat, he's not going to survive. And I gave up. I'm willing to give up a lot because of I'm rewarding Olam Haba. But if he doesn't survive, that's it. That's it. We're done. I'm not taking on that risk. He's not going to survive. So here the rabbi was now caught in between this Rev who said, I'm good, I don't have to eat it. You know, if I get this... And he said, I'm not eating non-kosher, but you're allowed to. Like, it's mutter in this situation. It's called nefesh. And he refused. And this Jew says, that's it. I'm not taking back to my work today. And this Din Torah took place here in Auschwitz. An unbelievable thing. Whatever it is, somehow he worked out a pshara that he would agree if he goes under a certain weight that he would eat. He got the rabbi to agree that he would eat non-kosher meat, in a certain situation, and that's how they managed to overcome it. Do you understand? Even in the most dire situations, Jews were not going to eat, not kosher. When they had every reason to do so. And how easy it is that people from our communities, our people we were related to, they say, oh, I eat dairy out. Or we're on vacation now. Right? Well, you know, like, what? It's so easy for us to eat kosher today. Wherever you are in the world. It's so simple, so easy. So easy. But that's, I don't have to speak to that about with you guys. That's maybe for Shanahan. For you guys, we can talk about the opportunities of what eating can provide us with. Why do we have to eat for fun? Because why did God create a world in which we have to eat? So Rabbi Tatz, Akiva Tatz in World Mass, but it's talks about this eating as connection, but it's found in many, many Sfarim. Eating is an opportunity in the world of Chassidus and Chabad and Tanya also and the teachings of the Rashab and other the great Tzaddikim of Chabad. Eating is an opportunity to connect. We need to eat, let's say this first, we need to eat in order to connect body and soul. Right? If we don't eat, what time do I have until? Two more minutes? If we don't eat for 3 days, the soul becomes detached from the body. Right? We life can possibly end. So we need to sustain that connection of body and soul through food. We take physicality and we can eat, right? Whether it's minerals like water we drink, or babka, which is made from wheat, right? So grains and vegetation, or if it's meat, chicken, meat, poultry, whatever it is, all these things that we can partake of, we can do it in a few ways. One is not care what we eat, kosher, non-kosher. Another is I'm careful to eat kosher, but I eat it for my own pleasure. And then there's a more refined way of eating. And then as I eat it, as a way to connect to Kedusha, I eat it l'shem shamayim. I eat it with kavana. Let's talk about that. Because let's talk about how a person can reach exalted levels where he takes something physical and turns it into something spiritual. If a person eats, and he's eating kosher, glatt kosher, the highest, hechsherim, badatz, everything badatz, but he goes and he eats it like most of us do, myself included. We eat it because this is what I like, and this is good, and I enjoy it, and I get pleasure from it. So that is not creating any form of kedusha. It's not taking something physical and turning it into something spiritual. In fact, in the world of chassidut, it's actually turning into the lower, it's part of the lower self, part of what's called the klipa. But the idea of eating is everything in the world is a mixture of good and evil, tov and ra, and we try to pull the nitzotzot of kedusha, the sparks of holiness. We're trying to draw from this physical item. So we have an opportunity when we eat actually to draw out that which is holy. And to, by doing so, we turn this physical thing into something spiritual. Becomes part of a spiritual activity, becomes part of the service of God. It is the greatest thing we can possibly do for this chicken. Every chicken in the world wants nothing more than to be consumed by that tzaddik who is going to, even on Shabbos, even better, to make it to the Shabbos table, right? To be consumed by that tzaddik who's eating it. L'shem Kedushat Shabbat, L'shem Shamayim. He wants to engage in a mitzvah, be part of a Suda mitzvah. That's like every chicken's greatest like dream, waiting for that tzaddik to come, shechtim, and be eaten by the tzaddik. But many chickens, unfortunately, and this I understand vegetarians and vegans, all they're right. They're right. If it's just going to consume for my own physical pleasure, so why are we any better than the chicken? Why are we any better? I'm talking about, obviously this is not, I'm not talking from experience. I'm talking about ideals. I'm talking about what we can aim for and shoot for. But you understand, if you have that kind of consciousness about food, about the possibilities of food, how far is that from even considering eating non-kosher? That would never even, like, never even come across as a, as, it's so beneath what the potential of food, of eating, of connecting to Hashem, it is. It's so beneath me. Right? A person's, if a person eats not kosher, you all know he's not allowed to make a bracha on it. Right? It's Einu Mevarach El Menayetz. He's not blessing God, he is, it's like cursing God. It's like slapping God in the face to make a bracha on non-kosher food. It's a mitzvah bar aveira. There's nothing more dastardly, right? We can't eat something without make a bracha. It's like stealing from God, the Gemara and bracha says, on Lamed Hey. So if a person is somebody who makes sure to make a blessing before he eats anything, he's never going to come to a situation where he's not going to eat kosher. If a person makes sure that he's going to make a Birchas Hamazon, right, or a Bracha Achrona, which is Midaraisa, Birchas Hamazon, right, of course he's not going to be able to eat non-kosher and then make the Birchas Hamazon afterwards. If before anything comes into our mouth, we're careful to ask permission from God, to bless Hashem, and hopefully at certain times, and maybe just as a practical thing, I'll come, as a practical thing, just as a Eitz HaTovah, maybe one day of the week, maybe Shabbos, one day of the week, or one meal, or maybe even one thing I put in my mouth, before I put that thing in my mouth, before, after I make a bracha, I consciously say, let this eating be l'shem shamayim, not for my own pleasure, but in service of God. That would exalt our whole experience of eating the rest of the week to a different level. Have a good day, guys.